everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. I'm excited to announce that tomorrow on Mormon Channel Daily, we're going to have a special guest, Paul Nada, who is the Public Affairs Manager for Family Search, which is the genealogical arm of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Be sure to join us tomorrow as Paul takes us behind the scenes to talk about the new website Family Search has at www.familysearch.org. We look forward to having him here with us tomorrow. In Utah, we are landlocked, meaning there are no beaches and there is no ocean anywhere close to us. But I've always liked lighthouses. I like looking through, you know, those yearly calendars where they have different lighthouses from around the United States. And I just think they're fun buildings with character and a lot of symbolism. Now, symbolism was never my strength. I remember in high school English, I really struggled whenever we read a book that had intense symbolism. But luckily, the symbolism of lighthouses is one that we can all understand. I found a quote from a Christian website that's called Moments with the Book, and it's called The Upper and Lower Lights. And I want to read this for you. It says, "For nearly two centuries, lighthouses have beamed their silent warnings out across the rocky shoals. They have weathered the storms of nature. And in the 1900s, about 850 beacons marked United States shorelines. The story of the lower lights is familiar. Years ago, at the harbor in Cleveland, Ohio, there were two lights, one on either side of the bay called the Upper and the Lower Lights. To make a safe entry into the harbor, the incoming ships must see both lights. One wild, dangerous, stormy night, a steamer was groping through the darkness looking for the harbor. The captain and the pilot peered into the darkness, and the pilot asked, 'Do you see the lights?' 'No,' was the anxious reply. And then, 'Ah, there it is. But where is the other? I see the upper lights, but where are the lower?' They had passed the lower lights and were too late to turn around in the raging storm, and they crashed upon the rocks and sank. Very few escaped, and most of the unfortunate passengers perished in a watery grave." The website asks, "Why did they perish? The lower lights had gone out. The upper lights were all lit, but the lower lights had failed. The upper light is all right. Christ is the upper light, and he is never out. We are the lower lights here upon the earth." The website asks the question, "Is your lamp lit today? Will your life point men and women to the upper light and safety? Let the lower lights be burning." Just reiterating what that article said, the upper light symbolizes the Savior, but the lower light is each one of us helping each other. And I found a story from President Boyd K. Packer that kind of talks about this. It's called The Atonement, and it's from General Conference, October of 2012. And I want to share that in his own words now.
My message is directed to those among us who are suffering, burdened down with guilt and weakness and failure, sorrow, and despair. In 1971, I was assigned to state conferences in Western Samoa, including organization of a new stake on Upolu Island. After interviews, we chartered a small plane to Savai'i Island to hold state conference there. The plane landed on a grassy field at Pa'ala. It was to return the next afternoon to take us back to Upolu Island. The day we were to return from Savai'i, it was raining. Knowing the plane could not land on the wet field, we drove to the west end of the island where there was a runway of sorts atop a coral break. We waited until dark, but no plane arrived. Finally, we learned by radio that there was a storm and the plane could not take off. We radioed back that we would come by boat. Someone was to meet us in Malafanua. As we pulled out of the port in Savai'i, the captain of the 40-foot boat asked the mission president if he had a flashlight. Fortunately, he did and made a present of it to the captain. We made the 13-mile crossing to Upolu Island on very rough seas. none of us realized that a ferocious tropical storm had hit the island, and we were heading straight into it. We arrived in the harbor at Maltafanua. There was a narrow passage we were to go through along the reef. A light on the hill above the beach and a second lower light marked the narrow passage. When the boat was maneuvered so that the two lights were one above the other, the boat would be lined up properly to pass through the dangerous rocks that lined the passage. But that night, there's only one light. Two elders were waiting on the landing to meet us, but the crossing took much longer than usual. After watching for hours for signs of a boat, the elders tired and fell asleep, neglecting to turn on the second light, the lower light. As a result of the passage through the reef was not clear. The captain maneuvered the boat as best he could toward the one upper light on the shore, while a crewman held the borrowed flashlight over the bow, searching for the rocks ahead. We could hear the breakers crashing over the reef. When we were close enough to see them, with the flashlight, the captain frantically shouted, "Reverse," and backed away to try again to locate the passage. After many attempts, he knew it would be impossible to find the passage. All we could do is reach the harbor at Apia, 40 miles away. We were helpless against the ferocious power of the elements. I do not remember ever being where it was so dark. We made no progress for the first hour, even though the engine was at full throttle. The boat would struggle up a mountainous wave and then pause in exhaustion at the top of the crest with the propellers out of water. The vibration of the propellers would shake the boat almost to pieces before it slid down the other side. We were lying spread-eagled on the cover of the cargo hold, holding on with our hands on one side and with our toes locked on the other to keep from being washed overboard. Brother Mark Littleford lost hold and was thrown against the low iron rail. His head was cut, but the rail kept him from being washed away. Eventually, we moved ahead and near daylight, finally pulled into the harbor at Apia. Boats were lashed to one another for safety. There were several deep at the pier. We crawled across them, trying not to disturb those sleeping on deck. We made our way to Pasanga, dried our clothing, and headed for Valiautoi to organize the new stake. I do not know who had been waiting at the beach at Maltafanua. I refused to let them tell me. But it is true that without that lower light, we all might have been lost. There is in our hymn book a very old and seldom sung hymn that has very special meaning to me. "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower light be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin is settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to reach the harbor, in the darkness may be lost."
I love that song, "Brightly Beams Our Father's Mercy." I remember singing it with a church choir group several years ago, and it was just beautiful. But I want to reiterate those last lines from that song. "Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. And then there's another line that I also like that says, "You may rescue, you may save." And we never know who we might help to rescue, who might need us to be their light in the darkness, so to speak. And there are people all around us who are struggling. It doesn't take long to find someone else who's in a worse situation than you are. And I think if we can remember that in addition to the Savior, we also need to be the light for those around us to help them and strengthen them. And sometimes we're on the giving end and other times we're on the receiving end. But it's my prayer that when someone needs us, that we can all be ready and we can be that person if someone is truly in need. We very literally might be the means to their rescue and to help point them to Christ. It's time to close, but I want to thank you for joining us today. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with me, send me an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I'd like to leave you with today is, of course, "Brightly Beams Our Father's Mercy." And this is sung by Dan Ellison, Spencer Ellison, Stephen Jensen, and Trevor Nielsen. And I actually found this on the internet. It's a free download. If you just search under the title of the song's name and James Case, you can also download it and have a copy for free yourself. Thanks, gentlemen, for sharing your song with us today. It was a perfect fit. Thanks again for being with us, and have a wonderful day.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. But to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night, how sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you